This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Mira Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment today, we're discussing a topic called diabetic nerve pain. Now, a painful nerve damage can be caused by chronically high blood sugar and diabetes. We have heard of diabetic neuropathy. It actually accounts for hospitalization more frequently than any other complications of diabetes. But it's interesting to know that this is something that affects quite a number of diabetic patients. In the studio with me, Dr. Zanaria Hussain, a consultant endocrinologist, president of the Malaysian Endocrine and Metabolic Society, to help us understand what this is all about. It is about 25, just under 1 in 10 of those with diabetes has it by the time he or she has had the diagnosis. Is it true? We want to know whether half of the patients with diabetes for more than 25 years will develop neuropathy. Is that really, are those really the numbers is what we'd like to find out, and how do you manage it best? So if you have a question for us, call 0377 109 000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018 789 8899. Welcome to the show, Dr. Zanaria. How are you today?
Great, thanks, Mira. Nice to be back here.
Yes, it's been a long time. You know, diabetic nerve pain. When you talk, let's not even talk about neuropathy yet, but what do you mean by diabetic nerve pain?
Diabetic nerve pain, that is a sort of a group of symptoms that patients with diabetes may develop when the peripheral nerves or distal nerves are injured. And usually it happens after a certain duration of diabetes and on a background of poorly controlled diabetes, and sometimes also on a background of high blood pressure and cholesterol, because all the nerve damage falls back onto small vessel damage, because the nerves are actually supplied by small vessels. So if the vessels are not supplying, you know, good circulation to the nerves get damaged. Certain nerves control pain sensation, usually the extremities. So the first symptoms of pain are usually in the most distal part of the body, which is usually the feet, the toes, the soles, infrequently the fingers. And, you know, it could be different to different people. It could be a sharp pain. It could be a burning pain. Some have described it as if someone is actually having a knife and cutting through their flesh. And that was the most extreme. So different, you know, patients would describe it in a different way. But, and it could be it could be mild and it could be very severe. In some people, it is debilitating, chronic, and predisposes to even distress and depression, actually.
So when you talk about the blood vessels supplying the blood to the nerves, which is probably what the problem really is, right? If you take a step back, what would affect, how does diabetes affect that, you know, blood supply to these nerves? What's it actually doing?
Right. So it's the complications of diabetes, of which neuropathy is the most common, due to small blood vessel damage. So the long-term high glucose load, and usually coupled with a bit of high blood pressure, it causes damage to the vessel wall. And if you put a bit of high lipids or cholesterol there, so the vessels become narrowed and the circulation, especially the microcirculation, the smaller vessels, get compromised in their capacity. So blood flow is compromised to the nerves, especially the nerve ends, and that causes damage in that way.
To the nerve.
To the nerves,
okay.
Yeah.
But why is it the leg is most affected all the time? Or are there other areas that we don't realize?
Diabetic, painful diabetic neuropathy most commonly presents in the legs, but also you can get certain nerves of the, even the face, of the head and neck, that can be also affected by it, but very much uncommon.
Let's talk about the symptoms. You were saying numbness, you know, some people say burning pain, pins and needles, loss of sensation, that sort of thing. Now, I was reading something about the axon, which is the wire, and the myelin sheath, which is the insulation. What can you explain that to me, and what does that actually mean? Does that mean for the nerve?
So actually, the axon transmits the conducts the electrical impulse across the nerve. The myelin sheath is surrounding the axon and allows the transmission to be smooth. So with the damage to the myelin sheath, there may be actually transmission of impulses may be damaged or may be compromised, and that may actually result in the disturbed perception of that sensation.
So depending on how these two are damaged or which one, then that's how it presents, whether it's numbness, whether it's pins and needles, whether it's very painful.
Because there's different sensation. I mean, different nerve fibers are controlling different senses. So in general, we have nerve fibers that actually are in control of pain sensation. There are some in control of position, vibration, temperature, and whatnot. So when you manifest a symptom, it depends on which group of nerve fibers are predominantly
affected. Okay, but you can never tell which one's going to be affected.
Yes, and some patients predominantly present with loss of sensation, and that is a big problem because you lose sensation and you're prone to damage. And that's when you get injury repeatedly to the feet and you get ulcers and infection.
Because you can't feel.
Yeah, whereas some patients present with pain, not so frequent, but the pain can be quite intense. And this is something that, you know, is not portrayed very well. So you can't understand that the pain is due to diabetes. You can understand if you have an ulcer or your skin color gets changed because of poor circulation and gangrene. Oh, that's due to diabetes because that's what, you know, you're all exposed to in terms of what they tell you or what you read about. But, I mean, the common person or the patient may not really perceive that having intense pain might be the joint. It might be, you know, a musculoskeletal kind of thing rather than actually a nerve thing.
So it really depends then. So does it matter whether you have type 1 or type 2 diabetes? Are you prone to diabetic nerve pain anyway?
Right. So the difference, as you know, type 1 diabetes usually affects younger individuals but may also present firstly when you're older. But in terms of type 1, the onset of disease is right there. So you would need to have many, many years or maybe decades of type 1 before you manifest a complication, including neuropathy or nerve damage. Whereas type 2, your diagnosis is usually much delayed, often years, many years. And when by the time you present, you know, you may already have complications from day one.
But what does this mean for children now who are being diagnosed with diabetes? I mean, what does that mean for them?
I think with children, adolescents, even young adults who are being diagnosed earlier with diabetes, it just means that you got to get your sugars in check from the beginning because all these are preventable, Mira. They're all related to poor control. And if we manage to fix, diagnose diabetes earlier, get it under control, in fact, we can prevent most of these complications.
Are most Malaysians managing their diabetes well?
I think you know the answer to that.
I needed it to come from you.
Well, I generally think, I mean, the processes of care are greatly improving. Although when we look at audits and surveys, we don't seem to see in a big way that the control of our diabetics are improving. But I think I feel quite positive that more people are being diagnosed earlier because of earlier screening. But, you know, it takes, I think, a lot of big steps to actually see a great improvement in control.
It's all about the management, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where do Malaysians fall short when it comes to management?
I think maybe if I take management a step before that, I mean, even the to be diagnosed early is the way to go. Before you have symptoms, if you know you have a background of risk for diabetes, get yourself screened, diagnosed early. So, in fact, complications can be deferred or prevented. But once you have diabetes, I think important to control and have this commitment or to, you know, want to have yourself screened in the best possible way. You know, your doctor told you that, you know, long-term diabetes causes eye complications, heart, kidney, nerves. So, you know, you've got to run a check on yourself at intervals and ask the doc, "Doc, are my eyes okay? And I need to get my eyes screened at intervals. My feet needs to be looked at by right at every clinic visit. The doctor should ask you, can you just take off your shoes and socks? We'll just have a quick look at your feet. You don't even have to touch the feet. You just look at the feet. At least you've looked at the feet. There's nothing hidden there."
Right.
And of course, at certain periods of time, the doctor or actually a trained nurse or a paramedic can actually perform a proper, complete foot assessment and can detect the foot at risk of injury. And of course, the other thing, when it comes to painful neuropathy, in fact, you may not see anything in the feet. But always ask the patient, do you have any symptoms in the feet? Do you have, you know, foot symptoms or feet symptoms or problems with your feet? I have given lectures to doctors about neuropathy, and when I ask a crowd of GPs, and you know, have you asked your patients whether they have any problems with the feet? Most of them don't. I think a lot of us are so focused on the heart and the kidney when it's diabetes. Heart, kidney, strokes. Now, you know, recognition of eye complications are more. But the feet, somehow or other, are actually highlighted. Problems of the feet are not as well highlighted.
And is it one of the areas which we need to look at most importantly?
Yes.
Yeah. It's so simple, but why? I don't understand that. Why is it not a priority, really?
Because, you know, one great indicator of good care of a health system is that you don't get that many amputations related to diabetes. And that's a really hard endpoint that you look at. You know? Yeah.
Okay.
And it's still happening.
So what I'm going to ask you next is that a reflection of our good care of our healthcare system then in Malaysia?
Yeah.
Are we still doing a lot of amputations?
I can't give you the correct statistics, but you know, we in hospital managing diabetes, we're always actually attending to patients in the orthopedic ward, in the surgical ward, with bad ulcers, with compromised circulation. So it is still a very apparent problem.
Okay. We'll come back and find out whether or not having diabetic peripheral neuropathy or painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy, whether or not it's all doom and gloom, is it something that's increasingly well understood amongst patients? Well, if you have numbness, loss of sensation, burning pain, pins and needles, you know, your limb reflexes are affected, maybe you want to ask your doctor about to have a look at your feet at your next visit. If you have a question for Dr. Zanaria, consultant endocrinologist, give us a call. The number is 03-7710-9000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivis. So the In Our Health and Living segment, we're discussing diabetic nerve pain. Dr. Zanaria Hussain, consultant endocrinologist, president of the Malaysian Endocrine and Metabolic Society, in the studio with me. If you have a question for her on diabetic peripheral neuropathy, I mean, it often presents in the foot. You have this feeling of numbness, burning pain, pins and needles, and peripheral neuropathy is common. It's usually distressing and sometimes even disabling. So if you have a question for her, give us a call. The number is 03-7710-9000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You know, is it all doom and gloom, Dr. Zanaria, when you actually have diabetic neuropathy or painful? Is there a difference between painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy and just diabetic peripheral neuropathy?
Right.
Is there a difference?
Yeah, there's a big difference. I mean, painful diabetic neuropathy is a form of diabetic peripheral neuropathy. So peripheral neuropathy denotes that the injury to the nerve happens to the distal nerves, and that supply the limbs usually, rather than the trunk. The neuropathy can be painful. As we discussed just now, if it affects the nerve fibers that are involved in pain sensation. To tell you the truth, probably the majority of patients who have diabetic neuropathy, which is in fact the commonest complication, chronic complication, or we call microvascular complication, 2/3 are apparently of type 1 and type 2 would get neuropathy if you have decades of disease. But not all of them are symptomatic. So, you know, more than probably half of them are not symptomatic. So they're not picked up unless a doctor does a careful examination and, you know, demonstrates there's a loss of sensation or heightened sensation or what you mentioned, loss of reflexes. So they may not actually have symptoms unless they are examined. And in fact, if you actually do certain tests which are not easily done, they call it nerve conduction studies, actually look at the impulses of the nerve, you would be able to detect even more. But what we're dealing with is actually addressing quality of life issues and alleviating symptoms. So those with symptoms may have what we call negative symptoms, and these are usually reduced sensation or numbness, so whereas there may be really prominent positive symptoms like actual pain, you know, and people describe it in different ways, whether it's heaty, whether it's burning, whether it's pricking. Yeah, so painful diabetic neuropathy is a part of the bigger problem of diabetic neuropathy. And neuropathy can affect even the what we call the autonomic nervous system, which is another nervous system that is doesn't supply the skin, soft tissues, and limbs. It supplies what we call the major organs, like the heart, the gut, the bladder, the reproductive organs. So if these are actually involved, then you get problems with heart rhythms, blood pressure instability, gut problems. But they're actually due to nerve
damage.
Yeah, and you can get bladder problems as well.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and that is very under-recognized. So that's what I tell my young doctors, is like, you know, you've got to have a full assessment and you ask about neuropathy. It's not just the feet. The next step is you have to ask about whether the other autonomic symptoms are also present. So
it's a very complicated disease, isn't it, diabetes?
Yeah. But as long as you do a full run check at the first time you're diagnosing the patient, and as you go along, if you do, you know, get the control good, and just have a look out for all the other possible complications as time goes on.
Okay. When you talk about peripheral neuropathy, do you think it's something that's increasingly well understood amongst patients?
That depends.
We have all heard, Dr. Sonari.
Yeah.
In our lifetime, we have all heard of diabetics who've had to amputate either a toe or, you know, a limb or whatever. Yeah. So it is not something that's that we don't know about.
But the painful neuropathy, I think a lot of diabetic patients and even general doctors or general practitioners may not be fully aware of. They may be aware, but they may not be, you know, really looking out for it, you know. Most of the time, we're concerned about diabetes causing ulcers, infections, and circulation problems. You know, a gangrene, a bad ulcer, and non-healing, and wounds in the feet. But pain per se is often not asked of, and the patients may not think it's even related to that, so they may not volunteer the information. And as I mentioned to you, not many doctors specifically ask whether you actually have discomfort in your feet. And you know,
but you know, why do you think there's so little discussion?
Yes, I think a lot of emphasis has been more to life-threatening complications of diabetes. So, you know, and a lot has been, a lot of progress has been made with good medications and treatment approaches towards, you know, especially cardiovascular complications of diabetes, which is the main cause of morbidity and mortality for diabetics. And then kidneys, I mean, that's so apparent now. Diabetes and kidney failure, very strong relationship. So a lot of focus has been on that. In the Ministry of Health, we've also made great initiatives for eye screening now, because we want to cut down the visual loss related to diabetes. But I think as much as we have intensive efforts in those areas, we also really need to be as intensive in neuropathy. And usually as endocrinologists, we have to work with a team to actually approach this subject. Of course, we have our primary care doctors who are the gatekeepers. Yep. They see 80% of the diabetics, so they would be the ones screening for all these complications. And then we also work with the specialists in that area. You know, so we've got a good commitment from the ophthalmologists now because they're going all out to screening for eye problems. The cardiologists are really, really very, you know, into managing diabetes, heart disease because of the new medications available. The nephrologists, that's their main bread and butter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But however, when it comes to the feet, you probably got to work either with a vascular surgeon or the orthopedics, or the rehab, and probably that, you know, that team is not so cohesive.
Not at all.
And not available usually in many centers.
So it goes back to the primary healthcare practitioners, isn't it? Yeah. And we have a pretty weak primary healthcare system in this country.
Well,
this
it's
is
growing.
A reflection.
It's growing.
You're just being very kind. I'm going to be very harsh. Yeah. It is. Yeah. And that is why a lot of these conditions are, you know, slipping through the cracks because they're not being picked up. We all cannot be running and diagnosing and saying, I have a vascular problem, and so I'll go and see a vascular surgeon.
Yeah.
We would know that, right, unless you're referred to by some other specialist. But hence the gap in the system.
Well, equally important, I feel, is that the public, and particularly the patient who has diabetes, you have to know what you are at risk for, and you have to keep track. You are living with yourself every second, every minute of the day, so you should know yourself inside out. And when you have a, you know, symptom, a new symptom, some physical change, you should come forward, you know. And of course, doctors should be always aware and kept up to date with all this, you know.
Latest developments.
Yes.
Painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy. What happens if you don't seek treatment?
Well, pain. Pain is a very important symptom, and of course it depends on your threshold of pain, but you know, if you don't treat pain, pain can be very severe and intense and chronic and continuous. And so it's been shown that if you do have to bear so much pain, you can get this issue of distress. So there's this condition called diabetes distress, and even go possibilities of developing depression related to chronic pain, sleep disturbances. And of course, with neuropathy, together with the pain, there may also be other problems with the feet as well, you know.
So then pain management.
Pain
management kicks in, and that needs to. We'll come back and find out a bit more about, you know, alternative or complementary ways of managing pain. I think there are some options in those areas.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we have James on the line. You have a question, James. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
My name is James.
Yes, James, we're here. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, I'm 75 years old. I've been diabetic, I think, now about 2 years to 3 years.
Okay.
I've been having numb feeling. I'm not on any medication.
Mm.
But my main thing is, like, my feet now, they're a bit numb. But, like, when I'm all the time, it's like I'm walking on the wet water or something. It's like my feet are always wet, even on a dry place all the time.
Yes.
And mornings, between my knees and all that, I have the burning sensation early in the mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not on any medication. My sugar is all around 7, and they said as long as I keep control of my diet, it's okay.
Okay. You want to know. Thank you very much, James, for that question. It's interesting. So at 75, at around blood sugar levels of about 7, is okay, Dr. Zanara? You don't need to go on medication, is my first question, actually.
Well, hi, James. Good to hear from you. And you've had what it seems as a short duration of diabetes, but with type 2 diabetes, sometimes the diagnosis is delayed. So having what you describe is having some symptoms of peripheral or nerve damage or peripheral neuropathy, and you've described numbness and a bit of altered sensation when you walk, and that's quite common where, you know, you walk with bare feet, but you can't really feel the floor properly, and the floor might feel uneven, and as you said, may feel wet when it's actually dry. And you've also described some positive symptoms of having some kind of pain, because burning sensation is a form of pain. So you have a mixed group of symptoms of neuropathy. What we need to know is how much it actually disturbs your quality of life and your functioning. And if it is actually what we call very brief episodes and self-limited, and you know, between episodes you're completely well and you can manage, most of the time the doctors may actually, you know, leave it alone, because the problem also is sometimes when we do give medications, the medications do have a certain amount of side effects. So you've got to balance that. But in the meantime, the factors that actually contribute to progressive nerve damage should be actually addressed, and that is making sure your sugar control is fine, and that has to be looked on by different markers, not only your blood glucose level, and making sure your other risk factors are also controlled. But if those symptoms progress, and that's what you should keep track on and even tell your healthcare provider, if they seem to progress over time, getting more frequent, more intense, and it really is disturbing you, then there is an important role to initiate you on certain medications that can help.
So this medication will control blood glucose levels, or is it to help with the diabetic diabetic peripheral neuropathy?
Okay. And it's not the typical painkillers per se, that, you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that a lot of people use for any type of severe pain.
Yep.
But it's actually medications addressed to neuropathic pain. And they're very different. You know, in the past, several years or decades ago, we used to use things like antidepressants or anti-epileptics as a form of pain control. But now, you know, there's evidence from what we call clinical trials that we use certain medications that are actually directed particularly to nerve pain. These are medications like Neurontin or Gabapentin and Pregabalin. These medications have been shown, when given to patients with these kind of symptoms, it can reduce the severity, intensity and frequency of the pain. So that needs to be decided with your healthcare provider or doctor, depending on your, you know, the nature or severity of your pain. But certainly, it should be looked into and possibly treated.
Yeah. Sure. With James, are we talking about managing the blood glucose levels or the neuropathy symptoms?
Very often it's about the whole picture.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
So, you
so look at the person as a whole.
Yes.
Question, how does, Janonet 50 over 500 milligrams work? For an 80-year-old dad, he was on insulin, no more hypoglycemic.
Mm.
He's got CKD as well. What does the skin discoloration in the legs indicate? What's CKD?
CKD is a short form for chronic kidney disease.
Okay, thank you.
Right, so he's 80 and he's on Janumet, and Janumet is a combination drug, particularly addressing glucose lowering. So two combinations of metformin and sitagliptin. It has to be used carefully because you mentioned he's having some chronic kidney disease.
That's
so,
right.
You know, the use of metformin has to be limited when you have chronic kidney disease. The other thing was
skin discoloration. In the leg,
A lot of patients come and they get very worried when there's discoloration of the skin, because the first thing they are worried about is there's gangrene or circulatory, and that happens if there is arterial compromise or circulation compromise, and that's peripheral arterial disease. Having just skin discoloration is actually quite frequent in the shins, in the feet, in the toes. But it's only worrying if it's accompanied by vascular compromise or ischemia of the limb, and that presents usually with pain.
I see.
So different type of pain than neuropathic pain, though.
Sure. So if it's discoloration and pain, then you need to come forward.
Yes. Any worry at all, just consult.
Sure. Yeah. So good treatment options would be the latest drugs that are available to manage the pain for diabetic peripheral neuropathy. But what about other options to manage chronic pain?
Yeah. Even the medications, just to mention, I've mentioned a few just now, but it's still quite difficult. Sometimes you may have to combine different groups of agents, you know, to actually control the pain well. Even to the extent of sometimes using opioid analgesics.
Yes,
you know?
And I wanted to ask you about opioids.
Yeah.
How long, you know, do you put somebody on opioids? Because I know there's a huge problem in the US.
Yes.
with, you know, people getting addicted to opioids and then moving out of the state just to get a prescription and medication.
Yeah. Yeah,
so is that something that we are big on, opioids?
It's very restricted. The prescription is very restricted. And I think usually for us to go to the extent of prescribing opioids, it's not the first line. Usually we use the drugs that are well indicated for neuropathic pain as first line, and some of the anticonvulsants may also be second line, and opioids subsequently may be considered if it's non-responsive. So I think the threshold to prescribe opioids, particularly for neuropathic pain, is actually quite high. I mean, you know, you would, and sometimes maybe the pain, upon consulting a pain specialist, a bit of this and a bit of that would be put in combination to try and alleviate the symptoms. But otherwise, there has been maybe other approaches, you know, topical therapies, not very well versed in it, it's not really easily available, of capsaicin, a form of, it makes the skin have a different sensation of feeling very heaty, so that the neuropathic pain sensation is then
reduced.
And then there have been some that, I'd be worried to say, you know, things like acupuncture, because we're always worried about, you know, injury to the skin and the risk of infection. But I think that has also been attempted in certain cases.
Okay, especially so that, you know, it's diabetic neuropathy. Question, my diabetic grandma has complained about an increased sensitivity to heat. Even a warm towel feels intense to her.
Exactly.
There is no burning sensation, but is an increased sensitivity to heat around her hands and body also a symptom?
Hands and body are not common. Usually, as I mentioned, it's lower limbs and feet. But possible. What has been described is sometimes even a blanket, you know, just touching the surface of the skin can give extreme pain in patients with neuropathic pain.
Okay.
You know, even just a slight touch can be so painful.
Intense.
Yeah. So it's different for different people.
Another question. I'm Bunny, age 52. My diabetes is under control. Around 7, my feet hurt a lot every morning for about an hour, and after an hour, it's okay. Why is that?
Okay. Now, you got to sort out whether that is a neuropathic pain or whether it's due to joints or, you know, and even some people get a lot of what they call it, painful heels, isn't it?
Yes.
Plantar fasciitis and whatnot. So your feet need to be examined, and it needs to be actually confirmed whether you have painful neuropathy. And if you do, as I mentioned, it can be treated.
Okay. We'll come back very quickly and touch on how, when you have painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy, how do you actually lead a normal life, as normal as possible? Does that make exercise more difficult? And in the long run, the best way to manage this condition? If you have a question for Dr. Zanaria, give us a call, 03-77-109-000, tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. If you've just joined us, it's our Health and Living segment. Dr. Zanaria Hussain, consultant endocrinologist, also president of the Malaysian Endocrine and Metabolic Society, in the studio with us. We're discussing painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy. If you're wondering what that is, well, it's when you're diabetic and you have high blood sugar levels, it affects the blood vessels that supply blood to your nerves. Your feet or your legs especially get affected more than anything else, and then that leads to numbness, loss of sensation, burning pain, limb reflexes being affected, pins and needles, and as Dr. Zanaria has been talking about, in some cases a lot of pain. So we're trying to figure out a way of how to manage this painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy. Is it something that we can actually delay or stop, Dr. Zanaria?
Yeah, so complications of diabetes can be delayed. if you address the risk factors to develop it. And certainly for neuropathy, the main risk factor is poor glucose control or high glucose over a long duration of time. And together with that, the blood vessel damage is mediated by elevated blood pressures, cholesterol abnormalities and whatnot. So really, that is really important and the basis of preventing any blood vessel or related complication of diabetes. So I would say, yes, it can actually be prevented. It can actually be delayed if you actually probably pick it up earlier and you actually address those risk factors and the progression of it can be addressed. So, what else can I say?
Eat healthy and exercise. Like, that's what all the doctors say.
It's not as simple as that. But treatment is really difficult because I've had, you know, patients with neuropathy and sometimes you try the first line medications and you put them on certain anti-epileptics, for example, can be used, and even the what we have described, Neurontin or pregabalin.
But this is for the painful
diabetic neuropathy. And you have to actually bring up the doses, and as you bring up the doses of these medications, because they are actually drugs that work on the neurological system, so you do get a fair share of side effects.
Yep.
So you can get hangovers, you can get sleepiness in the daytime, which disturbs you. So the tolerance to the side effects of the drugs are also one thing to handle on top of the actual symptom of pain itself. And so sometimes you may resort to using a bit of this group of drugs and a bit of the other, and often not completely controlling the pain. But at least if you actually reduce the score of the pain that the patient has and he can actually at least be functioning mm-hmm. over the day with his daily activities, that's already one important factor.
How do your patients cope with painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy?
One thing is actually chronic, so I think with time and a trial of combination medicine, they do seem to cope with it. Sometimes some cases are quite difficult, so one or two I recall having to actually refer to the neurologist, because most of the time we can actually treat the primary care doctor or the endocrinologist treating diabetic could treat it without referring to the neurologist. But I have had occasions where I had to refer because, you know, it's not responding to what I have selected for his treatment. And even the pain specialist put in the picture when it's really bad, because then they try other modalities of pain control.
So does that mean you cannot exercise?
Yes, very much so. They're always in a lot of discomfort. Mm. So, and also sometimes the circulation is compromised. So exercise is difficult.
I can imagine. Yeah, yeah. You said something about individuals coping with depression as a result. I mean, peripheral neuropathy is distressing. It's sometimes disabling.
Yes.
So how do you help your patients who go through depression?
Yeah, I think we have, that's one area that a lot of doctors probably, you know, for the lack of time and actually give, not really focus so much attention on, but we need to actually find whether these patients are really disturbed by their symptoms. Sleep disturbance is common, and then mood disturbances or depression is common.
Yeah.
So once you assess that, of course, some of the medicines that were used in the past for neuropathy were actually antidepressants. A drug that was called amitriptyline, sometimes still used now. So we use that at night and they get a little bit, you know, calmer and they can sleep a bit and they're, they can cope with the pain as well. So sometimes we may actually consult our psychiatrist as well and treat patients together with them if they do suffer depression from diabetes.
From what you've said, you know what? Try and prevent it, now.
Yes, that's the best way.
It sounds...
Yeah. But if you get it, get help early.
Yeah.
And
help manage it better.
So it's so important that we educate the public, the patients, but also our doctors, our primary care doctors, even our internal medicine specialists, even the endocrinologists, that you really need to have some attention on this.
Your message on painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy.
Yeah. that's the thing I wanted to repeat again, the education right across the board. So in fact, MEMS, Malaysian Endocrine Metabolic Society, in collaboration with Diabetes Malaysia, which is the main patient organisation for diabetes, mm-hmm. along with Pfizer, we've put our hands together in this campaign called the Blue Socks Campaign.
Okay.
We're the third country in Asia after Korea and Taiwan, and the main aim is actually to improve awareness and to educate right across the board, and that therefore enables earlier diagnosis and earlier treatment.
Fantastic. So the Blue Socks campaign it is?
It is,
on
yeah.
Painful diabetic peripheral neuropathy. Yeah. Eat healthy and exercise.
Yes.
And as our geneticist, neurogeneticist would say, Dr. Azlina would say, hug as well, because it helps.
Yes,
towards
yes,
your
I
well-being.
I agree.
Thank you for joining us, okay. Dr. Zanaria Hussain, consultant so endocrinologist, president of the Malaysian Endocrine and Metabolic Society on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.